Hey guys, before the episode starts today, I just want to take a quick minute to thank our brand new, very exciting sponsor, Social Pantry. They are sponsoring our Christmas episode. They are London's go-to caterer. They've got two cafes, one in Clapham, Social Pantry, and then Crane's Kitchen in Peckham. So all our Banged Up listeners get 20% off through December and January. Just quote Banged Up at the counter when you're buying one of their sellout weekend brunches, delicious seasonal salads and sandwiches, or baked goods in store. Thanks very much, Social Pantry, for getting on board with our Christmas episode. Anyway, enough from me. Here's Claire kicking off the Christmas party.
Banged Up Christmas special. Here we are. Welcome, everyone.
Happy Christmas.
It's not Christmas yet, but
nearly Christmas.
Yeah. Come on, boys. I mean, this is play the game. This is going out.
Yeah, soon.
Three weeks after. I mean, it is festive. The lights are up around London.
Yeah.
We've got some festive-ish treats here.
We are here together in person for the first time in...
How long has it been?
Since series one. Which would have been, what, 2020?
Well, don't age us, Rob. Don't age
pre-pandemic.
Us.
Pre-pandemic.
Pre-pandemic.
Which is, yeah, very exciting.
Isn't that long?
And a lot's happened. We're in a new location. Our producer's got a lovely new pad.
Paddy's upgraded.
He's upgraded.
not from the proceeds of the podcast. I'd like to point that out.
He's not in there.
Yeah. Christmas on the outside, post-lockdown, is a lot better than Christmas on the inside, was it, lads?
Yeah, 100%.
Well, last Christmas, when Boris cancelled the last Christmas, wasn't it? That was a fucking washout.
Okay, so we'll take last year out of it.
But on the whole, as the average,
the lead up,
the average Christmas here. Outside is better, yes.
To be fair, when I'm thinking about it, I think the Christmas menu was the same as the normal Sunday menu. You know, the normal Sunday
menu. They just told you it was instead of pork. Yeah, they just changed the name. Yeah, they won't know.
Basically the same menu.
Cover it in gravy.
I heard from one of my clients once they got half a roast chicken on Christmas Day.
Oh, is it?
Jesus, was that in a private prison? Was that in a G4S?
He used to get half a roast chicken every
Our special guest who sat on the corner who's yet to be revealed.
He used to get special.
We'll reveal it in a second, anyway. Because this is actually good timing for a man who stole my Christmas inside. The Yule log, the famous Yule log incident, one that I got in the canteen. Never saw that, did I?
Hello, all. I didn't know when to interject.
Lots of people have a big build-up for their introduction. You know, we talk about their accolades, we talk about all their big successes. We're just going to go straight in with, here is the man, Big Al,
the man who wangled three Sunday dinners a week.
Before I start, obviously you was literally looking at him while he was talking. Are you looking at him different, thinking, what a twat?
No, I'm not. I've heard that voice before. I've heard that voice before. It was weird for me, because we talked about this podcast inside, didn't we?
We did, and we kind of, I do remember the kind of clearly coming up with the concept. The first time I remember talking about it was on the bikes in the gym in Rochi. And then obviously I reached out. So we should say that Claire is, we've got a bit of a kind of mutual friendship bit going on here, that the connection with Claire was through yourself.
Weirdly, I went to school with Claire. At the age of 16, we've been good friends ever since. I went to uni with Rob.
Was that a private school, was it?
It was a private school
you yeah. went to, was it? Noted.
which made me the thickest person in prison. And then I met Boats at Rochester when we were banged up.
Banged up, losing the title.
Losing the name, yeah. And when we were talking about it clearly, and then I'd Rob, the known grass, snitched, got out early, and then... Wow. And then started the podcast. Wow. So by the time I got out, it was already recorded and done. But it was great to hear, to be fair.
So for people who've been listening...
That was a joke, by the way.
I'm looking at him funny now.
Don't spread snitch.
I'm looking at him funny now.
For people who already know us and have been listening, they will know of you. They will have heard about you from Rob and Boats already... mentioning you.
Obviously we've called him Al here, but you might have heard us mention him by one of his numerous nicknames. Gandalf, Miss Finders, that was one of the screws who he looked exactly like. You were just a bit taller. His Majesty, the famous, if you'll remember from the Barry's episode, if you go back and listen to Barry's episode, we talk about the incident where you two didn't talk for 3 days because you were playing table
tennis.
You were playing table tennis when we were chopping veg. Yeah. but again, we move past that. You move on. Yeah. Other nicknames? Anything else we've missed off there?
Just some very random.
The lump?
Other, the, yeah.
We should point out like Jamie. Yeah, there was Jamie. A guy named James. People, they won't get that.
Unless you were
on E-Wing in 2018, you're not going to get that gag.
But contact us if you were.
Yeah. I wonder what Jamie's up to.
Yeah. If you were in Rochester and you called Jamie and you're ginger with a big schnoz and an absolute rocket of a missus, mind you, remember that? His missus came on those visit days, didn't she? And she was 10 out of 10, Barry.
Must be that drug money. Must be that drug money.
Please get in touch. At Banged Up Podcast on Insta.
We miss you, Jamie.
But for those who don't know, Al, tell us, you know, your vital statistic, your prison vital statistics.
My prison vital statistics. So Rob and I were part of the same case. I got a 5-year sentence, went straight to Wandsworth, which was a fun old time. Did 3 or 4 months there. Then was transferred to Rochester, where I met Boats and a lot of the other people that I think have been on the pod. And then I was fortunate enough to be one of the few people that makes it to DCAT, which is open prison, where after about 15 months, I think, and then I was lucky enough to get a job. Ben Gotting, if you're listening, saved my life, gave me a job in a gym in the centre of London. So I was able to commute from Bognor Regis to London Bridge every day, circa 2 and a bit hours each way. But whoever spends the least time in there wins, right? So I was very lucky to have like an 18-hour licence. So I'd leave the prison at 6 a.m., get back at 11 p.m. and did that for 15 months.
So I wanted to ask you about, actually, obviously I would have touched on it back in series one when I went through that. But I want you to talk us through a bit like your experiences. We had a strange old time of we were on bail for long, long time, weren't we? Mm-hmm. 3.5 years. I think, was that right? 3.5 years?
3.5 years, yeah.
From arrest to sentencing. Maybe just tell us a bit how you found that in terms of with your family and...
Yeah, it was really difficult, wasn't it, having it hanging over you like that? Claire's probably the one to ask on this. I think they've since changed the law that you can't be on bail for more than 6 months without being charged. I don't know if that's true or not. Because it obviously really affects your life. I found it just not knowing what's going to happen comes with all its obvious bad points. But in that time, I'd gone on to start a new business, raise money for it. In the time after our case, I was hell-bent on... I went right the other way, essentially, from doing bad to try and do as much good as I could, and had an ethical business trying to do sort of energy projects in Africa, and I'd raise money for it. And I'd tried to get on with my life, and then 3.5 years later, you get a 5-year sentence. So it feels like it's been going on a long time.
Doing your walks from main cap.
But yeah, it was tough. It was very tough. If obviously, I think Roger's touched upon being middle class, but when you go to middle, your parents have to explain that you're on bail and you're going to prison. I can't imagine it's that fun for them. And it obviously affects all the quality of relationships. And I think the government have obviously recognised that and changed the law since. So 3.5 years seems excessive when you can't do it for more than 6 now.
Is that the case, Claire? So have you seen, I guess, you deal more with people in prison, don't you? You're less dealing with people in the lead up, or do you?
Yeah, most people that I deal with have already been convicted, but you will still find, yes, they have changed the law that is the kind of default position. There are still ways to apply for it to be longer if, you know, the prosecution think they need a bit more time, for example. But I think that's definitely a welcome reform. Something we're seeing at the moment as a result of the pandemic is that people are being charged and often remanded as a result of being charged. But there's such a huge backlog in court cases over the last, 2 years, that you're having it where people are, you know, that there's just as long until they're finding the moment of conviction and realising what the sentence is, but actually they're spending that time in prison as a result without any clarity, or, you know, as opposed to kind of in your stage, which is probably, if you're going to get convicted, is good because you'll have served your time and it can count towards it. But if you're not going to get convicted, or you're acquitted, you're innocent, or, you know, the case can still not go anywhere, it's an awful long time to be in custody as a result. So I think it's come in by another means.
So it's kind of the kind of, in theory, the the law is there to kind of reduce it, but the practicality is at the moment that that's just not happening. We've got a load of really good questions to come to later on, but it's a good point to say. So Lexi got in touch, who made exactly that point. I think she works within the system, and I think she's just saying it's absolute carnage at the moment that you've got people who, it almost sounds a bit more like the American system, where you hear lots of this, of people, no trial date, remanded in prison, which I guess you didn't see much of before, I don't think, where you were kind of...
You still had like huge numbers of people on remand, really? But the length of time was nothing as it is now. They implemented emergency COVID legislation, which extended what they call the custody time limit, which is meant to be the period of time that you can be in custody before your, you know, trial happens. Without reason for it to need to be extended, they automatically extended the period that you could do that for. So that was a big problem. It has now reverted that rule, but you know, the backlog's huge. They built these emergency courts because, Nightingale courts that they've tried to put things through. But the reality is there are still, you know, thousands and thousands of cases that haven't been heard, much more than ever before. And it's got a huge implication, you know, exactly as you guys have experienced before getting there.
But I've kind of experienced, by the time this has been over, and rightly so, it would have been 8.5 years. So for like a 5-year sentence, essentially. And I always thought that if I'd gone to prison when I was arrested, I would have been out by the time I even went to court. So I guess that's what they're trying to prevent, right? Because I was in limbo for 3.5 years. You didn't want to get a lease on a place, or you couldn't do any of that because you didn't know when you're going to get charged, or...
And it would have made everything, yeah. You know, yeah. setting up a business, you're yeah. kind of always a little bit half like hesitant because you know, you've got such an uncertain future.
Yeah. It's lucky that I'm banned from being a director for 10 years now. So that comes in handy at this time. Yeah. And actually, Claire, I'm not sure we've talked about, but Claire was actually a very supportive friend on the day that I changed my plea. We went together and I stayed in Southwark Crown Court and changed my plea, and Claire was the only one that came with me. So thank you for that.
You didn't have that, did you, Boats? You didn't have that kind of in your hands where you went and kind of changed the plea. You were just, you had your court date and you were...
No, I didn't change my plea, no.
No, you were always yeah, also, innocent, and then you had the the kind of your sentencing day from the court, from the trial.
Were you ever on remand, Boats?
No. Wish I was, to be fair.
Why?
Looking back, because then...
Oh, it's like off your side.
Yeah, but obviously not the first time, not... Having been to jail before, obviously, you wouldn't want to think that to go.
Yeah.
Do you think that it mentally, this is to all of you, do you think that, two questions. Part one, mainly to Rob and Al, for your period of time, did you at the core of it believe that you would be charged, or did you think that it would all blow over?
I never thought I would be going. I like, foolishly, and I have hands up to it, I sort of didn't want to believe parts of my case. So I always thought it'd be a civil matter. I thought the tax man would come along and we'd get sued or something, or very foolish and naive. I never thought I'd get a 5-year prison sentence. Is that
you didn't think it'd become criminalised? Are those two things separate?
I think I had blinkers on at that point. I think I was in deep and I didn't want to see some of that. But I never thought I'd be going to prison for that. Yeah.
Yeah, likewise. I think it kind of slowly sunk in. The closer it got to I think it kind of, as a lot of other people involved in the case got NFA'd, they got no further action, and it was whittled down to the
lucky seven,
to the competition winners. I think it slowly dawned on you there, but I think, yeah, there's definitely a certain amount of denial, and you kind of convinced yourself, you kind of cling to that hope that, you're going to get let off or whatever. Because I think the difference is there with our crime, it's not like an assault where there's like a, you know, bit of CCTV of you kind of knocking someone out or something. You know, ours was always a bit that kind of funny area. It was all down to text messages and insinuations and all this kind of stuff. So I think there was enough there for us to cling on to that you were like, you believe what you want to believe, don't you?
The mind's a funny old thing. Like, even on the morning of, the pathology was telling me, like, you're not going away for, you'll get a 2-year sentence, you'll serve 6 months. And then John, who was first on the indictment, I remember him, the judge didn't take a liking to him. So whatever John got, we got less than, it cascaded down. And when John got 6 years and 4 months, I mean, the only way I got through it in court, I had a little notepad and I had to separate myself from what was going on. So I was just literally writing notes. I must have looked mental.
We got Rain Man in the dock.
I was like, I was writing down exactly what the judge was saying.
I'll use this.
John, yeah, I was just gold.
This will come back to you.
John stands up and leaves through the door on the right, and then it's my turn and 5 years, and then other people get to go stage left out of the witness box, and then you go right into a...
I was about to say, because you're the third person from our case to feature in the podcast. Oh, yeah. We had Babs up first, series one. Not sure how many more from the case we're going to get on, I'll be honest. It's going to be a much trickier phone call for some of the other guys.
The second part of my question, I think, if I can remember after this time, is that when you said, Boats, then, that you kind of wish now that you had been remanded.
Yeah.
Do you, like, what, and apart from the fact that obviously you'd have been released earlier, what do you think is the better situation, knowing what you know now that you were going to be convicted? Did it help to get your head around it, that you had a bit of time, or actually would you rather just, you know, started straight off?
I think if you've not been to jail before, probably getting bail to prepare yourself is probably better. But if you've been prior, you'd rather just want to get over and done with.
Right.
I've got friends that are awaiting sentencing or awaiting charging. That it's been like with Alex, it's been so long that they just think, fucking hell, I wish I'd just done it now. These are people that haven't even been to jail. They just think, I'd rather have gotten over and done with, because they might go to prison now. And I do fully understand that. So, yeah, I think if you haven't been to jail, it's probably best to prepare.
A little bit.
Yeah, because I think for me...
A happy medium.
Yeah, because I think for me, even that 3 days after I got sentenced, the judge gave me 3 days to prepare. I think that was probably good for me mentally to help me prepare. But
and you can say your goodbyes, can't you?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Have a last meal.
Yeah.
That sounds a bit death row. Yeah. But not quite death row, but what was your last... What did
say
you
goodbye to
yourself?
Your girlfriends.
Yeah, that, yeah.
Edit out.
Wow. to be fair, I don't remember what I last ate.
That's 3 days enough for both.
I don't remember what I last ate, but
it's normally a day, but the judge don't recognise. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give you three.
Yeah, we'll move on.
Wow.
You don't remember what you thought to yourself, I've got to get a cheeky...
Probably got a haircut knowing you, didn't you? You're quite precious about your hair.
Yeah, good haircut in prison, can't you? A haircut.
You can get Barry shaved a line in the side of my head while I was laughing. I mean,
very odd people claim to be barbers so they can get cans of tuna off you. But you're not getting a good haircut in there.
Yeah.
But you know.
You usually find out the hard way.
There's no Robert Fitch in there, is there? Yeah. I've got next in the my list of things to ask you about.
It's very efficient tonight, isn't it? Boats, have you got on it. Paired list
I don't, questions? I don't, to be fair.
Boats helped me put this together, to be fair.
All right, okay.
He sent it over to me, I'm just taking the credit for it.
Was that in PowerPoint, or what sort of medium did he use?
No, telepathy.
Okay.
I've got first night - wanking jokes.
Oh.
So I'm going to lower the tone.
I vividly remember it. I don't think you ever forget, do you?
I think you pulled a few strings to get me in the same cell as you on Ewing and Wandsworth. I remember that being a right touch.
Can I say one thing, though? One thing about Al is he's always known how to worm his way or pattern. He's always known how to just... He's good with his words. He's always known how to... He could just walk into the prison.
I'm not sure.
The next day, he's top boy.
Agree. Yeah. And do you know what, Boats? Yeah. It's... a wonderful
Gift
quality.
To the gab. Gift to the gab.
But it's also pissed me off. Because it's like, he's not done his time the way others have done his time, has he?
That's why in jail people used to... I was the kind of guy, either hate him or love him.
You can do both, but I've found...
Him Silver Spoon.
They're not mutually exclusive.
And I get it, because it's like, who's this posh cunt that's fucking... He's out when everyone's banged up.
I know.
He knows how to...
The story of his life.
Exactly. But also, so in Wandsworth, when we got on there, you were down on the ones with Karaja. We'll come on to Karaja in a sec. But you were on there in no time. So to explain, you typically start up on the fours or something up there, which is the fourth floor.
Yeah.
You progress. So the guys down on the ones typically have been in there for a decent stint, or you know that. And you moved from the threes to the ones in the space of about 2 weeks, I think, didn't you?
12 days. But only I remember writing that in my diary. Only because it just seemed obvious to me that you would do, at Wandsworth, when it's 23-hour bang-up, I would do anything, literally anything,
yeah,
to get out of my cell. So, like, if it was cleaning the floors or taking the bins out or whatever it was, I would just try and put myself forward in the really awkward 2 minutes you had when you got let out for food.
So you also had a bit of you had a bit of a nightmare setup, didn't you, in your first cellmate in Wandsworth? You had that guy who was a nice lad, but he was a devout Muslim, so he was praying five times. He was
prayed
praying through
a lot
the
of
night.
Nights. Yeah, that was
so
fun.
You weren't getting. I remember seeing you had very tired eyes the first couple of nights we were there. Not a happy bunny.
That praying, watching TV at all hours, it's just a real culture shock when you first go in there. You drive through a Serco van through Wandsworth, where we're recording this, and you see a lot of your
old stomping grounds,
and then you end up in Wandsworth, and then you're getting woken up at 3 a.m. when someone's praying next to you. I just volunteered to do as much as I could, and then I got labelled a screwboy, essentially, which is...
what does the screwboy mean to thee?
I think a screwboy is...
It's like a teacher's pet, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a teacher's pet, yeah. But to me, it just seemed obvious, but then I was out of my cell cleaning inside 12 days, and essentially prisons are run by people, right? So if you get on with the screws, they're going to give you the better jobs. And then I had a job on the servery, which is really glamorous, about as good as it gets at Wandsworth.
You had a nifty,
say
nifty
that though, and you're completely right, everything you say, and hats off to you that you put yourself forward. But I don't believe that everybody who puts themselves forward gets that. What do you think was different?
Because he knows how to talk. He knows not everyone in jail knows how to talk.
I'm not sure I can comment. It was my primary driver to just get out from behind the door. The psychology of being in there 23 hours a day. I mean, I'd go to a flap and look at Rob playing chess with John's dad. And then just...
Shout out, Bomber.
or Minty just smoking in his room. And I just think, why are you okay with this? I mean,
You have got the gift of the gab. You're a charmer.
Yeah, he is.
I'm not sure.
I think you had the skill set before going in there, and you just applied it to prison, where I think lots of people go in there kind of shut down a bit. I definitely was like that. I was like, my goal for the first 2 weeks was not to make eye contact with anyone.
Yeah. I was very fortunate to have some of my close mates in there. Otherwise, I don't know how I would have survived. But I remember, we were called the Posh Mafia, but I remember clearly a moment when we were standing on the landing. And Rob, I was eating a bowl of like Rice Krispies or something. You fed me. And then Mike shaking his head. And it was just a really odd moment.
We both, as soon as I put the spoon in your mouth, we realised in full sight of the entire wing.
Stop. Yeah. Rob, yeah. What?
I just like have a bit of your cereal. And then you kind of forget your surroundings. And then.
I mean, that's what my toddler does.
Yeah, it would have been better if we had clothes on at the time. there was that. I mean, I think definitely sharing a cell with you just having my mates around me was the right touch, and I think we definitely felt more comfortable. But yeah, it was a definite culture shock and things like that, kind of going through plus and minuses, isn't it? And I think you definitely, I watched that all the way through. I mean, you applied that. I think if you were looking at that when we got to Rochester, you were straight down onto H-Wing. I mean, you just had a way of. Exactly. I think, Ron, but you knew how to talk to the right people. You're very determined to do it. And I think it made a big difference, I think, to your stay.
But to be fair, I think that's the way to do jail. The way he did it, for anyone that hasn't been to jail, it's busy, but you got to be busy.
You've always said that, but it's true. Actually, politeness,
that's what gets you far. That's what gets you far. You've got to know how to talk to the guards.
For me, it was just, it seemed like prisoners... ultimately run by people, and if you're kind to those people, you don't have to be a screwboy. You can just speak to them normally, say please and thank you, and you seem to get what you want. When most people are trying to,
you might still get looked as a screwboy, but
I'd rather a prison stereotype.
Was that your first impression of him, Bates?
A couple of times when I moved on to H-Wing and I saw him out the cell when I was banged up, I used to think, what the fuck is he doing? How's he always out?
Before you knew who he was.
Yeah, before I knew. But then when I met...
Then he realised it was Miss Finden.
Yeah.
Then he realised
when I met him and understood that I got it. But yeah, I can understand that people could resent that because no one wants to be banged up. And you've seen, if you've seen someone who's a prisoner like you, not banged up, you're going to think, what the fuck's he doing? Is he...
You're a bit jealous.
Yeah, of course, you would be. You would be, yeah. So even like, you managed to wangle Rob and as soon as you got to Wandsworth, you managed to get Rob in your cell. Like, how did you even do that?
I got it was by chance, as I was walking through this wing, it was a young female screw. And
it's charmer, you're a charmer.
That's how you start what you were saying. It was a young female screw.
And I just said, and I just spoke to her politely. We actually declined our first offer, which was a cell covered in blood.
Do you know what I mean? But the thing is, he's getting offers, man. People don't even get
offers. Yeah.
People don't even get offers.
That was a joke. Like the first, I remember them opening the first cell door and it was genuinely covered in blood and shit. And I went, absolutely not.
How many prisoners get to decline cells?
I don't know.
It's true, though, isn't it?
But how many prisoners get to say absolutely not? And the answer
is, really say
okay,
that.
Sir, let me find you another room in your hotel.
If you actually seen it, it was covered in blood. Like those blue mattresses were on the floor.
Someone got dumped in that cell. Yeah. Someone had to sleep in.
I think we just got. Exactly. We just got lucky. I just think we just got lucky.
You got a gift of the gab. You know how to work brain. You know.
I asked politely, basically,
but other people could probably ask politely and.
I agree.
Even the way you come across a gov, you know what govs are like. Some of them might. If a cat tries to talk like you, they'll be like, "Fuck off." Yeah. It's true, isn't it?
But I think, but I'll also say, like, it happened that they had a full empty cell that we were in. So, I mean, you miss all the shots you don't take, isn't it? So, like, he asked, it was no skin off their nose to put us in the same cell together. Mm. So I guess it kind of, you know, we didn't look like troublemakers.
Who else were we going to count biscuits with?
Well, exactly. And that was when we came up with our strategy for...
In here for 5 years. If I have half a digestive a night, how many nights have we got left? 17, apparently.
If you want to have a wank, you've got to put the bin on your head and go in the corner.
We do have to put the bin on your head.
If you're having a wank, that was a joke.
It's awkward if you can see the other person, isn't it?
Why don't you just close your eyes?
We did get in our pants and do sit-ups, though. That happened.
We did do that.
That was like a scene out of a film. We did get in our pants and do sit-ups.
I remember, that was pretty miserable. But then, you did get it sorted. So you had, you got down on the ones with Kraja, who I mentioned earlier, who was also worked in the surgery with you, who was like, he was doing a long sentence and he was in on a drugs charge. He'd been in there a little while. And on our wing, there was quite a lot of Albanian guys. And so they had a little kind of crew that kind of had it pretty well settled there, didn't they? And you had, I mean, we should mention at this point, you're the size of a house. So you're what, 6'6"?
Big
bit of kit, 120 odd kilos,
something like that.
So getting in,
this would have been in the introduction if we'd thought about it.
Yeah.
Probably. We've left that a bit late. But
a bit gladiator.
We didn't want people to judge you just because you size. So you know, prison. Your standard...
Hey Rob, you're big as well. Okay, don't worry about it.
I was fishing for that.
I mean, just you know, sat between boats and now you look really intimidating. And if I had to choose one of you as my personal trainer.
Boats every time.
Yeah, always boats.
Boats every time.
Always boats. Let's just say, so prison, what do you reckon on a standard prison day of food, it's what, about 1,200 calories tops, if you're thinking...
Mark for bag breakfast.
Well, it's about, what is it they say? It's like £3.75 or something.
180. Like 180 for three meals at once.
180.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think they've just said they're going to up it. But I think that I went too big. Yeah. I've been on maternity. I'm out of the game.
We're like professional footballers from the 70s. We missed out on all the glory years, didn't we? But so I think, the point was, I remember in those early days, when I was thinking I'm fucking hungry the whole time and just thinking if I'm hungry, the big guy is struggling. But then you got down in with Kraja, and whenever we'd go in there, he was a funny little character, wasn't he? He used to love, what was that Channel 4 show? He loved the sexy witches.
Oh, Bewitched.
Yeah, but Bewitched.
Yeah. No, Charmed. Charmed
from like the 70s, wasn't it? Charmed. When he was like, the sexy witches. But he was a lovely lad. You always go down there and he'd always be trying to like give you eggs or a chicken leg or something. So you had so much in there.
The milks as well. Do you see how many milks? Yeah. One of the perks of working on the servery, I guess, is that you rob half of it.
Yeah.
we had, chicken legs are like currency in there. So people have had fights. People have had fights for less. Genuinely, someone started a fight with me because I didn't give them a chicken leg. Always the left one, weirdly.
That's a fact. One, yeah.
How do you know which leg it is?
Because you can see. You can see where the body is, Claire. You'll figure it out.
No, to be fair.
What, is the chicken still whole?
No, no, you got like a one chicken leg and a bit of
okay.
Yeah. So I mean, but there was always there were racket going on in the canteen hall, and Kraja was at the start of it and was robbed everything, which made me very happy. Make me a salad every night.
Even that though, is that you've always managed to to sort yourself out.
That is blind luck that I was with an Albanian that stole chicken for me.
Every
Do
job
you
you've been
think
in.
that quality, a sort of invincibility? Do you think?
Didn't feel that way. I'm still in prison.
That's why you didn't think you were going to go to prison.
Good question.
It's like you won the lottery, but it was the postcode lottery.
I don't follow.
Don't get that.
Well, analogy being, well, he's doing well, but he's doing well in prison.
Yeah.
You're going to win a lottery. The postcode lottery is the worst one to win.
I'll take it.
They don't always work. They don't always work.
Do I think? I'm not sure, Claire. I'm not sure. I don't think so. I don't think that had an effect on it.
Christmas inside. I just missed, we touched on this earlier. I got shipped out 3 days before Christmas. So you had a bumper because you got my canteen.
Well, guys, I just want to say I've got you. I'm going to interrupt this moment because I've got your Christmas present.
No way.
I have got your Christmas lot. Present.
No, you haven't.
I have. Oh, my God.
That's
I got
Christmas
you your log. I don't want you to fight over it.
There is actually a your log.
Have you that got
the... It's only from Sainsbury's. I had to make a decision. Cadbury's or Sainsbury's. And I thought prison wouldn't go Cadbury's today.
That's actually genuinely very
That's very touching.
So crack it open.
Have you got the Pierce Duff's powdered custard that goes with it? Sorry.
Shit on me. I didn't shit on you. I'm so... Shit on my parade.
Just be brave. This is what we're talking about. No, it's never enough for him, is it? Never enough for him.
No, that's really kind.
I've just filled up on one of the social pantry little pecan pies.
How was that?
It was fucking delicious, yeah. But I'll eat that later.
What was the brand of your Yule log in prison?
Oh, good question.
Good question.
Generic, happy shopper probably.
I think I've got a canteen sheet at home.
Have you?
Kept it for nostalgia, yeah. I'll dig that out. Send it to the pod. You must have talked about canteen sheets, right?
We did. Yeah, we can delve into it a bit more now. What was your typical order?
As much veg, couscous, and tuna as I could get.
Okay,
which one?
Yeah. Toothpaste milk. And phone credit.
Yeah, milk, phone milk, credit. Milk. 58 quid of phone credit. Who have you got to call? Oh, no.
Edit that out.
No, that can stay in. That's fine.
It was just, but I remember just being, it was just sugary drinks and.
A lot of sugar.
Like, no, nothing healthy.
It should have been
there.
Called the Tuck Shop, yeah. Shouldn't it?
Yeah.
The Tuck Shop, yeah.
That would have softened it a bit, actually. It felt quite nice in there, actually. You know?
But a treat for us was tea cakes.
Tea cakes. The
Yule log at Christmas time with the powdered custard, pierced duffs.
When I went into Sainsbury's, I shouldn't say the supermarket, you know, they might be
unless they want to sponsor us.
Unless they want to sponsor us. I said I was like on a 3-minute turnaround that I had to get in and get out before... Always late, as Rob knows, I'm always late collecting my child. Always the last parent at the gate. And I said, do you have a Yule log? Two people looked at me. They did not know what it is. I was like, a Christmas, cakey, roly thing.
Give them a canteen shop.
World's gone mad.
Yeah.
Anyway, number three directed me to aisle 13.
And now we've got it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean, you basically lock a load of people in, allow them to go and exercise once a week. And give them unlimited sweets to access all week. It might not be the best strategy.
Mm.
Do you remember your first Christmas? You were Wandsworth, weren't you, first Christmas?
Wandsworth, we got an extra... You get like an extra pack of biscuits, don't you?
You nodded at me when I said half a roast chicken.
Yeah, true. So Christmas dinner, we got let out for an extra 2 hours, I think.
Is this Christmas after these guys have left?
Yeah. But I hadn't met Boats at that point. Rog had gone to hide down.
Yeah.
And we got an extra 2 hours out of our cell, a bigger bit of chicken than you. It wasn't a chicken leg. It was a breast, which was great. And then we got an extra pack of biscuits. But it's a funny time in prison because...
Everyone's fuming.
Because
you get locked up more.
Everyone's it's more that people
up.
Just get it's messed mixed. Up.
But everyone's, yeah, pissed, I mean, up. Everyone's pissed off at Christmas Day as well, isn't it?
But I mean, like, that's when they're raiding cells and testing people. Yeah. And I mean, New Year's Eve, don't get pissed, lads. They're going to catch you. Christmas Day, don't get pissed, lads. They're going to catch you.
Prison that got set on fire on New Year's
Correct.
Eve.
Burnt down some, yeah. Yeah, prison riot. People get extra 30 years for that. Prison riot on...
And the prison no longer exists.
Especially
exist.
At Ford, where it was open prison and people could flood the jail with drugs and booze, essentially. Just get pissed on the second, lads. Mm. They're coming for you on New Year's Eve, surely.
That's why he succeeded, because he...
But it's gone outside the box thinking.
Because they're storming round. They're just storming round looking for people. And loads of people get shipped out on the first, which must be a nice way to start the year.
There you go. Boats, how many Christmases did you have inside?
Two. Yeah, horrible.
Any highlights from those?
No, not really. I was just on the phone.
I was as well.
I was on Snapchat most of the day. Be fair, I think one day we actually posted a picture on the wing, and we posted it on Insta.
Wow.
Shitting my
pants. Why'd you do that?
It wasn't me that posted it. I was shitting, thinking I'm in that. So I'm due to get a security ship out. I was shitting my pants.
I had a client who got caught on Facebook.
So sloppy,
isn't it?
Days
before his parole. Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
The risk reward on posting a picture of you on the wing is really not
How
there.
How many
is
likes
it?
Makes that worthwhile?
Yeah. Let's ask Barry. I'd say Barry will have something to say on that.
How many reshares before it's worth it? In fact, I think someone tunneled out of Wandsworth. Someone tunneled out of their cell, which was on that day.
Shawshank style.
Yeah, smashed through the wall, but then realised they were still locked on a wing. Yeah. But they hadn't really thought it through.
They tunneled into the shells.
And then that they have to have an escapee suit, and that was him sent back to an ACAT.
Oh, my God.
Hadn't thought it through.
Had not thought that through. Should have chatted to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd have
this
said,
is a role for you. This
what are you going to do when you get out yourself? Don't tunnel that way.
You'd have said, other ways to get out. Get a job, clean the floors, you'd have said.
Clean the floors, take the bins out.
Yeah.
So then we got off there, didn't we? And we then got to the promised land of Rochdale. Remember, what was that lad's name? That he was a nice lad on Wandsworth who recommended it. He was the one who's... Adam, I want to say it was Adam.
Yes.
Who was the one that told us to go to Rochi,
yes.
Mainly because you could cook eggs there. That was the big selling point.
Yeah.
And I remember I obviously got shipped out, went to Highdown, put in my request to go to Rochester. So we'd been separated. And then I remember getting to Rochester, walking down the stairs on E-Wing there and just hearing Rog. And overwhelming relief that we'd been reunited, which was a lovely moment. We were reunited for about a day because you were straight off onto the enhanced wing.
Did you go straight to the enhanced wing?
Of course he did, Boats.
You were there maybe a week.
I was there about a week.
If you were no banter. This people might say snitching, but if you came with me and you got moved to the enhanced wing, I would have said to the guy, how the fuck
that, yeah, people said that snitching. People said that snitching.
I used to ring me and he'd say, Claire, what's the legal position on this? And I'd say, you've got to wait 3 months to get onto enhanced.
Oh, yeah.
And then he'd ring a week later and he'd be like, yeah, don't worry about it, I'm enhanced.
Oh, you've always been...
It took me a while to get enhanced, actually. I did get it ahead of time, though. I remember that.
Yeah, you've always been able to pattern.
I was an E-Wing with a gypsy George. Who I had a lovely time with. Very good.
He used
lad,
to love a midnight snack. That
loved a midnight snack. And Tab would smoke in the cell in his bed. I'd wake up in the middle of the night and he'd be eating biscuits. He'd got up in the night to eat a pack of Bourbons and go back to bed. And it's when you're fast,
that's like a dream.
Because when you're usually dreaming, so you've kind of forgotten that you're in prison, and then gypsy wakes you up by eating biscuits.
He was also one of it's actually quite a bad story, but one of the ones that always sticks in the mind was, who was that? There was that spice head on the wing, the black lad who actually went loopy that time. Do you remember? And he went running, you might have gone by that time. He was like, he'd been on the wing forever and was like, he used to go and clean the cells and stuff, but he was like, big bit of kit. And George came up to him and was like, oh, so-and-so in cell, whatever, owes me some money. I need to go and fill him in. And the lad went, like, not a hint of irony. He went, oh, I'm going to have to think about that, mate, because he's one of my pals. And I was sat on the table opposite and I was just thinking, fucking hell. I mean, that is one of those moments where you're like, it doesn't operate the same in here, does it?
Yeah.
So, am I right, Boats? Did you meet them together? They were already reunited in Rochester.
Yeah. Posh Mash, so, come as a package. We are a package deal.
Like, come on, what was it?
Well, actually, that might not be true. I was on H-Wing and I'd said to Rob... Right, I'd said to my mate from uni, who I'd known for years, who was one of my best mates in the world, not just in the prison, in the world, and I'd said, I've got you a spot on H-Wing. I'd gone and spoken to the gloves. He was on E-Wing.
Of course he did.
Yeah, but I was like, I've got a pal.
I've managed to pull strings.
Fine. I said, I've got a pal who's on E-Wing. He's a nice lad. He'd fit in well here.
Strings, wouldn't you, about?
So I went to get Rob, And he went.
You wanted to be associated with Rob. That was your choice.
Exactly. I took the risk. Walked up to the top side of Rochi to meet Rob, to tell him the good news that he was going to get a single cell and a shower and be on the enhanced wing. And he went, oh, I got it kind of sorted up here, mate, with some lad from Liverpool. I was like, huh? We've been mates
My
for
James.
speaks volumes about
We've
your personality.
Been mates for
that,
10,
doesn't it?
You get your own cell though. We've been mates for 10 years. You're going to stay up here. No, okay, don't worry about it. And then. A couple of weeks later, he came down. Do you remember the first time you met us, Bert?
Probably quite intimidating, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was it in the gym?
We played short tennis.
Did I use that?
I think it was in the gym.
I was practicing his forehand.
Yeah.
I think it was in the gym.
He was most intimidating in the gym.
Was I serving volleying and you were probably intimidated by it? Yeah.
Probably. No, they weren't intimidating. I just used to think, because at that point, I was in a gym oddly. I thought, how the fuck are these gym oddies?
Another example.
Yeah, surely I can get a job. And I thought, surely I can get a job with these, because normally in
what do you mean?
It's the big meatheads that are just gym oldies for some reason by default. And I'm just seeing Rob especially. I'm looking at Rob thinking, if he's got a gym oldie job, I'm fucking getting a job. And I think Alex might have helped me get.
He
might
I did help you get a
yeah,
job.
Yeah, yeah, Alex might have helped me get. And I think maybe he was a bit intimidated by me, so he made friends with me.
Definitely.
And got me a job. So. But when I first saw them, I just thought, who are these two posh boys? I just looked at them and thought, they're definitely in it for not violent crimes. It can't be a violent crime. So,
did you make that assumption from saying?
Yeah, 100%. Because when you see posh people, it's true. They're either nonces or... No, it's true.
Which one are you? Nonce.
Which one is it? But I thought, they're not going to make the nonce the gym orderly. So I thought, they can't be nonces. So maybe they're in it for a white collar crime, maybe.
Right.
So yeah, that's what I thought. I thought they can't be.
You took the risk though, didn't you?
Yeah, I did take. I did. Because to be fair, there was a guy I hired on you. He was like an older version of Alex, and he was a bit noncy. So I thought. I'm not sure
that's a phrase that we can go around. Yeah. A bit noncy. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was though.
So it says, you ever think you'd be friends with two people like this? Do you think you'd be sitting next to them on a sofa?
After I met them, I thought these lot are cool. But when at the beginning, I thought. I didn't understand how it would work. I think the way our relationship grew is that we just used to banter each other. Mm. We used to take the piss out of each other about music taste.
Yeah.
I used to always ask Alex and Rob about, what do I used to ask you about, like,
white people music, basically.
Well, anything white came on the speaker, we'd be out in the main hall. Just Boats' little head would pop round the door and just start looking at us and laughing.
Just white people.
Just Rick Astley.
Yeah, Rick Astley.
Pink.
I've been listening to a lot of Heart 90s recently.
That's a bit of them, to be fair.
I recommend that as a channel.
That's a bit of
there we go, one for you Boats, bit of education.
Thanks, I'd love that.
Yeah, that's a bit of you lot. Sting.
No, we're not listening to Sting on
Talk
Heart
about,
90s.
Weirdly, but Boats has so many racial stereotypes for us.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
But
that's
Boats
the thing.
Also but wasn't born band, in the
our
90s.
Band, our banter was just about racial stereotypes.
We used to drive that.
It was pretty one-way traffic on that, wasn't it?
Okay, serious question amongst it all. Do you think those racial stereotypes played themselves out in prison in any way?
100%. I think it was a bit different for me because I'm all right with talking. Not everyone in prison, not everyone of my ethnic origin that's in prison knows how to talk, or the same way Alex knows how to manipulate words or just be smart in there.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone's like that, so they'll automatically be judged and not treated as well. I think the same way when he got to Wandsworth and he thought, let me go and talk to this gov, not everyone's going to think like that. But also, if someone who isn't as intelligent as him tried to, they'd probably get fucked off and told to go and do one. So I do think it does play out in jail. Yeah, 100%.
I didn't want to believe it was going on for you, mate.
He was very in denial about it.
Yeah, well only because you're my mate. We had a really close relationship. I didn't like the thought that was going on. Did it ever happen when we were together? I'm not sure. I mean,
no, but we got onto.
I think we witnessed a fair bit of it. We weren't mentioning names, but I definitely think of a couple of screws that you saw treating black guys differently, or kind of definitely to us, kind of making kind of hey lads,
about that.
And I remember definitely having a couple of awkward moments of being like, well, no, not really. But do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it was.
We
definitely saw some bits like that.
No, we're not naming them.
No, I don't mean names.
He knows who he is.
You know. So I've got a question, because you went through, when we were in Rochester together, I remember quite very clearly coming out of my cell once and kind of bumping into you, and you were sat out on the wing and you were kind of visibly really upset because I think you went through something that is thankfully not something that lots of people go through, but you actually lost a relative while you were inside.
My granddad passed away, I think, was it just after Christmas or just...
It would have been, we were on E-Wing together, so it would have been, it would have been just after Christmas, so yeah. Kind of Jan, February time.
Yeah, I lost my granddad. He checked out a 99, so good old innings, but I was really close to my granddad, and I didn't have the courage to tell him I was going away, and he was kind of ill at the time, and I didn't feel like I could broach that with him, so I always remember just sort of... speaking to him in his house and then going inside to cry and then come back and compose myself because I couldn't say this was... I sort of knew he was ill at 99 and I was going away for a 5-year sentence that I wasn't going to see him again. So that was the toughest bit about prison for me, was not being there for my granddad. But it's also doubly hard because you can't go to the funeral. So...
Or did they not let you?
They don't let you unless it's your mum, dad, brother, sister. You can't go to the funeral. So that was a tough pill to swallow, yeah. So that was... I think that was my lowest time.
It was an odd. I mean, could imagine the amount of people in prison that were raised by a grandparent. I imagine proportionally quite hard.
I was going to say, like, it has such limits for any concepts of kind of, you know, more or less, 2.4 children families and those relationships. And I've represented a lot of young people who haven't been able to go to, you know, in their mind, really, really close family members who have virtually raised them, and they ask for ridiculous criteria like, proof from social services that you were in the care of another person, a grandparent, for example, or, an auntie or a close family friend, that if unless you can prove what they call loco parentis for a period of time, and that can't just be stated. You can't just say, I lived with this person for 2 years. It has to be, show me the social services records. And that's it.
You don't. And often do you miss the funeral?
Oh, yeah. The process of applying for it, so lengthy, the process for the decision being made, absolutely, and you miss it.
I think takeaway, to be abundantly clear, is not my view, but I think, the counter-argument, if there is one to that, where people would say, well, don't do something that gets you sent to prison. That aside, I think the objective fact is preventing someone from going to a close family member's funeral going to A, create less issues, or B, create huge issues with that person inside. So it doesn't make sense on so many levels, I think. And just, yeah, I remember seeing you and kind of going through that process of, when you were kind of... Izzy, isn't he? Because you were really close with your granddad, I should say. I mean, he was mad. I mean, we should also say you were like Arnie and Danny DeVito from Twins, because your granddad was
not normal.
Buckle,
yeah.
Angry man. He tried to headbutt me twice. That's a true story. Good judge of character.
He was my hero, right? So it was difficult for me. That was the hardest bit, I think. And you're called to the wing and they say, we've got to tell you your granddad's died, and then get up in your cell. And then you go the next day and say, can I go to the funeral? And they're like, nah. And then it's just tough. You call home, they're obviously upset. Mm. And then it's sort of, you want to be there for your family. That was the worst time for me, I think.
Yeah.
And would you, obviously not being allowed the choice to go to the funeral, it is terrible, but I try to sort of talk to some of my clients and say, actually, even if you're allowed, you do need to think about whether you want to be there, because you are going to be handcuffed.
Yeah.
You're going to be accompanied by two officers.
Yeah, I think I thought through the embarrassment factor, and I think I still wanted to go. Yeah, I still wanted to go. Yeah, I mean, it would be... I can't imagine what it'd be like to be... Are you handcuffed to an officer? I don't know. They let you go stand with I don't know.
You would have probably managed to fucking...
Yeah, you would.
You probably would have, to be fair.
Can we get Nando's in the way?
Well, I can't believe you didn't get to go, actually.
In a high car, he'd driven himself there.
Yeah, he probably would have, to be fair.
But then you think people at DCAT can... Well, I was a CCAT at the time. People at DCAT can leave for the whole day and come back.
But they still need to have reason, so...
True.
Yeah.
It might not have been approved, although probably more likely from a security point of view.
You mentioned earlier you've been to DCAT. I never got the chance to go to DCAT. So what was that like?
I know you was at Ford. What can you explain what it was?
I went with a good friend of ours, David Ojo, if you're listening.
Little King Money.
Mini coach.
I spoke to him today, to be fair.
Great.
Yeah.
I was transferred to Ford Open Prison, where you're never locked up, which after 15 months of bang up, essentially, it feels refreshing.
Is it that good? Because I heard that it gets boring, apparently.
No, it is great. The psychology of not being behind a door, you can leave whenever you want, you can walk. I mean, you have to be on your wing at certain times. There's a roll call 3 times a day. But the rest of the time you can just walk around. So it's just like a really shit Butlins. It's like a Club 1830 with nothing in it.
With only
fellas. And a few queens.
And no evening entertainment.
And I went with David Ojo, who is the greatest man that's ever walked the earth. He's 4.5 foot, do you reckon?
He's probably about 4'10".
4'10". We made quite a pair. I'm 6'6", so...
Was it like Danny DeVito?
Yeah, it really was. People thought it was the oddest. Literally. We shared a cell.
Twins.
We shared a cell. And he is full of... Let's say he's full of energy, right? He buzzes around like a kid until he's tired, and then he falls asleep. But he was fantastic. Made my time in there great. And then I had... Basically, people told me that I would never get a job in London.
Shock you did.
And you know.
When you say everyone told you you wouldn't get a job, is that because you thought that the prison wouldn't approve you to go out to London?
No,
get the actual job?
So when I was speaking to other prisoners, which is probably a poor idea in the first place, about the process, some of them are like career criminals, right? Or they've been in the system a long time. They're very downhearted about it, or they're just negative all the time, which what separates probably all the people that have been on this pod, right? While we were friends, because we had a really positive attitude.
Mm-hmm.
We had really good days in there, genuinely good days in there, which sounds silly, but we made the most of it. But a lot of these people that you speak to who are negative told me that I wouldn't get a job in London. And you just go along and you speak to people nicely
Sorry to push you on it. Is that because they thought that the jobs in London wouldn't accept you, or because they thought that
the prison would never let me do it?
Put the red tape
usually
up
because you like,
it's too far away.
It's too far away. You usually like the jobs from DCAT are usually like packing food,
Timpsons and stuff like
Timpsons,
that.
A mattress factory.
Yeah.
And it's usually within 25 minutes. So it would be locally to me, which was like Portsmouth, Bognor Regis, Arundel type place. Winnersh, yeah. And then I managed to get a job in London Bridge. So, and commute 2.5 hours that way.
That just sums you up, innit? That you fucking managed to sort yourself out again.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to get spiritual about it, but it's like, I willed that into existence.
You're good at that.
To take the spiritual element out, your mate Gotts did a hell of a lot of the footwork.
Ben Gotting.
He also campaigned.
Hopefully he listens to this one day. I would take a small caliber bullet for him for what he did. He took on a lot of the admin. He didn't have to like hire me, as it were. And he did. So I'm forever grateful.
Good. He gave me my first job in a gym as well.
You did.
Painting the back room of his gym.
She did a bad job of
it. You've got to start somewhere.
Which won't be hard again.
I think from what sometimes you guys joking about, and from what, you know, we speak about boats saying that you found some things easier than others, that there is this idea that some people talk about prison being a bit of a holiday camp. And I know we've had some questions say that our pod has made things sound somewhat lighthearted sometimes, which there were lighthearted moments.
You have to, though, isn't it?
I think I just referenced it a minute ago. I think it's still trauma, right? And you have a choice every day whether you're going to let it affect you or I think everyone in this room who's been to prison will know that you face that every day, and it's like, it sounds cheesy, but we had a choice every day and we made the most of it. Like that's obviously not going to be the same every day, but I can honestly say that we made the most of it. And the people that don't get into drugs and the alternative in there from not being positive is so unglamorous.
That's true.
You go down the drug route, or you're a spice head, or you like, we all threw ourselves into exercise.
We've just been negative.
Like, we just distance ourselves from people who are negative. And don't get me wrong, 90% of people in there are negative. They're either moaning about the system, they're moaning about someone in the case, moaning about, I don't know.
I think 90 a bit high, but a high percentage. I mean, lots of people do choose that. I think you definitely look back with rose-tinted glasses in a way. You remember the good bits, you know, in Rochester, sun shining, we're out playing a bit of football. And that's true. And we're not distorting that there. That's just, I guess, cherry picking some of the best bits. It's also true. I mean, someone wrote in and asked about that TV show Time that went out, the one with Sean Bean.
Yeah.
I think we said, it sounds a funny thing to say, but both things are true. Yes, we had some really good times in prison because we managed to find like-minded people that were pretty positive, that were willing to laugh at the weird eccentricities of prison. But Time is the most accurate portrayal of prison I've ever seen. And it is harrowing. I mean, you know, that could be Wandsworth. That could have been our Wandsworth experience. I mean, thank fuck no one ever tried to take my lunch because I would have done a Sean Bean 100%. Do you know what I mean? So, do you know what I mean? It's so true. And that is, I think you said you had to stop watching it. It was so realistic.
Yeah, I think that part of my brain I'd shut off. It was like I had a visceral reaction to watching Time. It was like, it's just the subplots that are going on. Like people trying to extort people.
The violence.
The script,
how they spoke is exactly how people talk in prison and how the interactions are. It's so unfriendly. And you do just kind of edit that out of your mind when you're thinking back.
Because for me, it was trauma, right? And I think why Time, for instance, hit me because I tried to forget about those parts of it. I mean, I know we joke about it, but that's all we could do at the time.
Your coping mechanism.
That was our coping mechanism. I mean, at the end of the day, you're still either banged up for 23 hours a day or Rochester were banged up for 15 hours a day. Yeah. And there isn't much fun going on behind a door, apart from Love Island with boats shouting out the window, or trying to play chess with Barry through the
thing. You got that SD card that was a bit fun going behind the door, isn't
it? Or you get a... Yeah, I'm not hotting everyone up with that. No. Or you get a DVD player with a hard drive and you can watch
200 hours of porn.
Or...
Don't recommend that to anyone.
I didn't go for porn.
From a legal point of view.
Sure. Yeah, but I guess it does come across like we joke about it sometimes, but it is trauma. Like, there's no two
it's
ways
not
about.
A fun experience. It's not something I want to repeat.
No.
You're never going to talk about the trauma, are you?
I'm not going to. If you focus on that, you're going to do twice the time, I reckon.
Yeah, 100%.
But it's not as easy for some people as it is others to see the positives.
No, but I can't comment. I totally see that.
I think we went in with a skill set that allowed us to do that. And that is because of our lucky backgrounds, you know, that interpersonal skills, like you said, the ability to kind of, you know, I was an extreme example, but the ability to just get on with the screws. I think a lot of it is interpersonal skills. I think a lot of that is just, you know, being able to see, right, that might be a problem, and maybe step away. And that's not because we're innately better. I think that is largely due to our, you know, privileged, if that's the word you want to use, our upbringing. You know, you learn those skills to kind of, and I think a lot of people going in there are not equipped with those skills. They're maybe not as emotionally developed. And so when they face those kind of things, that's where, you know, you get into a bit of violence and then it spirals. Once you're into that, I think once you're into that kind of, you make one mistake, you just go downhill from there. So it's kind of a bit of a trap.
But also, I think a lot of it is mindset, because like what Al said, every day you do have a choice, because you can wake up and think, fuck this, I'm in this place. You do think that, but once you step out the door, it's whether you want to fucking look at someone wrong and you just think, let me just have a good day. And I think that just makes it easier. And even for me, like, I'm quite a positive person, but I got banged up with a lifer at one point and he had 11 more years to do. He'd already done 11.
Minimum.
Yeah, he'd had 11 more to do minimum, and he was happy every day. So I can't have a mentality where I'm thinking, fuck this, when there's people in a lot worse situation that are being positive. So I think a lot of it is mindset. Some people have come from worse backgrounds, have been worse situations, but I do think it's still a lot to do with your mindset. Obviously, I wasn't in a situation where like mad stuff was happening on the outside for me, even while I was in there. So I can't speak on that, but I do think that if their mindset was a bit more positive, then they might have had it easier.
I think also you have to remember, I think, you know, if you think the type of person that is going to end up in prison, it's often owing to really unfortunate social circumstances, mental illness, all that kind of stuff. And that is not going to tee you up well to go and succeed in prison well. So I think that's kind of all, they're all factors in that stuff.
It's not. And I just want to touch on that quickly before we have to finish. When you say type of person that's going to end up in prison, and I say this to kind of Al because he's our guest today and I know him best. I imagine that you are not the type of person that you previously imagined before you went into prison that people who went into prison were. Does that make sense? Should I phrase that?
I think made me the thickest person in there, right?
I think we had less excuses than a lot of
like, what did you not think people were going to be like? Like from,
I honestly thought going in, I was going to have to fight every day.
Yeah, I thought I was going to
fight every day. I thought it was like American prisons.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I thought that.
Where everyone's in a gang and stacked and fighting.
And don't drop soap and all that.
Yeah, I actually generally thought I was going to get raped at some point.
Yeah, you do think that.
And or be extorted because you're posh or whatever. Because you hear people like getting dragged into cells and beaten
up. Also, don't get twisted. Some jails are like that. If you go to like a disposal, it might happen. But yeah, I do get that.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, in answer to your question, that made me the thickest person in there, right? Because I had every opportunity in life and still ended up there. And then you meet people that literally never had it. Sounds preachy.
People like Mo.
But they just never had a chance. They just, they were from really broken homes or they were from very unfortunate social backgrounds or whatever. Weren't fortunate enough to have education. And so it didn't feel like, you know, I remember speaking to a guy, who'd been like, he'd been nicked like 35 times for drug dealing. Clearly wasn't very good at it. But he just talked very austerely about being able to provide for his family. Like it wasn't like, he wasn't living a drug lifestyle. It was like, he got to take, I vividly remember him telling me he could take his brothers and sisters to Alton Towers because of the money that he sold from drugs. And it wasn't like he was trying to give it the big one. Mm. It was just, that was, and then you get released and you go back to an area, you can't get a job. When you're released, you can't get insurance. You can't get loads of things that the system are not geared up to. It just makes some people reoffend. So if you go back to an area where all your mates dealing drugs, what are you going to do? If you can't get a job? So again, still made me the thickest person in there.
Yeah. I think people are a lot more normal. I thought like there were lots of people in there. I think the overwhelming majority of people I encountered, and you know, this is purely from like kind of my bubble that I met people in there, but were just pretty normal people that had made a bad decision or two. You know, a lot of people were, it was, you know, a typical example would be someone that had a steady job, had a family stuff, used to make a bit on the side selling a bit of gear and, you know, would have been caught from that. That was a very typical example of people we encountered in there, which I found surprising. Yeah, I thought it was going to be a lot more kind of Wild West than it was.
But thankfully people were not huge like in American films. And they usually...
There was no Cali Muscle.
You
were bigger than them anyway.
Well, when you think about some of those gym... Like Jim.
He was a big...
Some of these gym orderlies who've been in the gym for 20 years, I mean...
As you and your next stint.
Yeah, me and my next one. But they're usually just addicts, right? It's not... British prisons are not like American prisons in the films, which is what I thought it was going to be like.
Yeah.
I thought I'd be scrapping for my bunk every night. Basically.
Al, it's been so great to have you on. We could probably ask you a million more questions. It's been so lovely to see you reunited with your Rochester reunion gang.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for coming. And it's been our Christmas special. Christmas party.
We had some delicious food.
We've had booze. We've had...
Shout out Social Pantry, last mention for them. Some delicious pecan pie. I think Paddy's had about four of them here. Crew's got a nice picture of me shoving something in my mouth. I think maybe that. So thank you. Remember, Banged Up 20, you get 20% off in their cafes in Claffmore Peckham.
My God, he's like totally nailed his.
Well, it's series. It's the third lot in it now. It's Christmas. We've done two
it's
series.
It's a beer. It's easy.
A bit more polished. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Watch this space for potentially a season 3.
I think the plan is, well, lots of you have been sent us some very kind messages saying the police were coming back. So I think the plan is to try and record a bit more in 2022, Boats, you're keen, I know.
Yeah.
He's been messaging me in the off-season, going, come on, mate, when are we getting back to a Christmas special?
And he changed his number to try and get away from you.
Yeah, exactly. We kicked him out of the WhatsApp group for a bit to try and teach him a lesson. Too keen. Yeah, right, mate. We'll get sorted. So,
But this has been lovely. So good to see you guys. We'll sign off here and watch this space.